the sun. And get crazy, have some fun. Hello and welcome to the Dad Podcast. Some of you more ready for this than others. My apologies to Paco. The headphones were turned down and I had started the show. When I say, are you ready to start a show? And you say, yes. What that says to me is that I could start the show.
Fire when ready.
Fire when ready.
Yeah, yeah.
For those about to rock, we salute you.
So he starts singing along to the theme song and I was like.
And he leapt like we were in a off-Broadway production of some Neil Simon play and you were about to miss your entrance.
Noises off.
Yes. And you were like, God, running around.
Yes.
And you know what I like about that, though? I like that this is recorded, but you treat it like it's live. Well, do it live. And that, now you might already tell, Paco, under the weather.
A little.
First thing he says, I said, how are you? He said, they call it bronchitis. And then you said, so don't make me laugh.
Well.
And I want you to know that at no point am I trying to. But
right.
I don't know. I mean, I don't have a cry in me. Are you going to be okay?
I think so. For the listeners keeping track at home, that laughter will make me cough.
Yeah.
And coughing has been known to make me faint.
Yes.
So if I suddenly am laughing very hard and then you hear silence and you see me go limp.
Uh-huh. Should I do at that point?
I'll come around in a second.
Keep rolling and finish the show? Or
sure. I'll be fine.
You've come around? Has this happened before?
Within a couple of seconds, yeah.
Oh, okay. So I just sit here and act like nothing's happened.
Well, I'm sure you'll laugh at
me. No, I won't. No. I'm not that guy. Okay. I don't know. Really? You think? Hold on. My wife is texting me. How do I? Oh, my gosh. How do I get that to stop? And then I highlight it. Oh, no. That's somebody in the chat room now. Somebody in the chat room whose name is in Arabic. They're saying hello. Anyway, well, I'm sorry you're not feeling well.
Yeah,
the first thing I wanted to talk about on the show today was that I have noticed that when things are going well in my life, there is very little to talk about on this show.
Oh.
Other than the fact that how frightful it is when things are going well. You wouldn't know it by the last episode. We did. I don't know. Did you already hear the last episode?
I heard most of it. Okay, but
Natalie and I got into it a little bit, and it was some asswipe named Christopher had the idea of Natalie mentioning her pet peeves. And I got an email.
Oh, I shut it off just as you guys were starting the pet peeves.
Oh, really? Yeah. That's funny. We got into it. And somebody said something that really cracked me up. Let's see. Yeah, it's actually Christopher. I think he's the one who started this whole thing. He says, Dear Justin, been a fan from the beginning, pal. I guess it's finally time I send a message. I'm fairly new to the social media thing, and I've enjoyed the interaction on the Facebook pages pertaining to the show. I started listening to the same reason you had for making the show. I was sick of hearing people pretend everything was always great up in their high horse about how great parenting is. Like you, I love my kids to death, but it sure is a hell of a lot of work. I guess listening to your recent story of giving your son medicine finally inspired me to write. I have a 6-year-old girl and a 4-year-old boy, happily married as well. I always struggle with our tactics and wonder if we are doing the right thing. I believe that the fact that we are worried about it makes us good parents in the first place. Our kids will be fine because we care. That's all caps. That's a little acting for you. You're welcome, listener.
Thank you.
This could easily go on and on as the longest email you have ever received, but I will keep it short and hopefully do it again. The basics are I live on Long Island in New York. I work a full-time groundskeeper job and part-time security work. My wife also works full-time as a teacher. I love the addition of Paco. Right for you, buddy. He has been great. Look forward to each and every show and always look forward to more. I will never listen live. No time for that. Go fuck yourself, Christopher. I would also highly recommend a book called 123 Magic. Check it out. Helped us tremendously. Hang in there, Justin. Thanks for always sharing your stories and uniting normal good people all over the world. Hopefully, I will write again soon with some stories to share. Please feel free to share my comments in this email. Good, because I already did. And that was actually the wrong email. That I did not want to read. Here it is. This is one I wanted to read from Craig. So thanks, Christopher.
Wait a minute.
What's up?
You give me so much grief when I don't have my audio straight on my laptop.
Yeah.
All right. Never mind. I don't want to go there.
You want to have? No, you don't?
No.
Okay, good.
No, I don't.
That's a good idea.
Right. I don't want to get taken into the other side.
What do you mean taken to the other side? I'll give you a verbal lashing right here.
No, I understand.
Right now.
I don't want
you. Want to compare responsibilities?
Jack Bauer me as you did your son. I don't want that. I don't want that.
Well, then you should have learned because yes, now you're going to get it. So talk to me. Let's talk. How hard is it for you, Paco, to do the show?
Oh,
how,
not at all.
Not at all.
I walk in and I watch you fumble with the buttons.
Yeah.
And
fumble. Thanks for that. Appreciate it. So what's the one thing you come in and you do? You come in and you log into the chat room, right?
I open my laptop.
And then during the show, you fling words into the internet, correct?
Occasionally.
Yes. And or double check definitions of words that you've given me.
Yes,
I know that that also happens. Meanwhile, I am streaming it live. I've opened phone calls up, 877-222-8323. I've got drops. I can hit anything I want, like right now.
Asshole.
Sometimes, if time permits, I do a little bit of prep, and I apologize.
Yes,
I apologize that I've wasted your time by reading the wrong email that included a compliment to you, knuckle.
No, no, that's fine. First of all,
that part's fine.
No, now I'm sitting up. Now you got my attention.
Now I'm sitting. No passing out.
Before we really launched, you went, oh, yeah, I run a board, but I forgot to turn this on.
Mm-hmm.
So there was that, and then there was the ding that you said, oh, that's my wife, and then you said, no, it's somebody in the chat room.
Yep.
It shouldn't be dinging anyway.
It's true.
It's happened to you before.
Yep. Then, if I knew how to turn it off, I would.
Then reading the wrong, it was by the time we got to the third one, I thought, well, is it so, I never do three in one.
Right.
I usually have the one mistake.
Because you have one thing. You don't have three to mess up.
Oh, I see. So you're saying out of the 100 things you could be fucking up, you're only fucking up three.
Right.
Occasionally.
Right.
Whereas I'm 100%.
No.
Well.
You're at about an 80%.
Okay.
I feel like, I think you've gotten really good at remembering to turn down the music, especially now because when you come in, we have a little chit-chat before the show begins. Why is it everyone who comes to do the show with me now wants to fight with me? What's, my wife does it?
Hang on a second. Well, listen. What I wanted to say that I thought was awesome. I love the shout-out. That was great. Yeah. I also love the idea that I'm still considered the addition.
Yeah.
This has been like a year. We kind of have 200 episodes together.
It's a trial period.
It is.
It's a trial period.
And he can still remember the time when I wasn't on here anymore.
If we had Daryl Hammond at the beginning of the credits, it would still be featuring Adam Dooley.
Right.
That's how it would go. This is the real email. Now, this is for anybody who's just tuning in for the first time to this episode. Natalie brought up pet peeves, and one of the pet peeves, I can't even remember because I had to black it out so that I can maintain a marriage to this woman. But I started yelling at her about how she can't complete things, and evidently this struck a chord with a certain gentleman out there. He says, so I'm listening to Date Night on the way to work and had to laugh out loud to incredible resemblance to our lives and probably many others. My wife, as yours, the trier, because this is what Natalie always says. She goes, I'm going to try to do better, or I think I can. And it's such a great... Here, listen, I know that there are probably a lot of moms who are listening to me, maybe even some dads, maybe even everyone listening to me that is like, you're such an asshole. Like, but I would love to trade places with this woman. I really think I would. I really think that I would like to just, I don't know, I wouldn't want to just a week. You know, it would be like going to Australia where if you just go for 4 days, it's like a waste of time. I want a month of having a magical fairy that goes around and makes things happen behind me. And before you start, you know, smarting off in the chat room and sending your emails, let me explain that I am not playing the role of the husband who, like, my wife is secretly making my life and I don't even know that's happening. No. She would sit here and tell you the exact same thing. Now she thinks it's hilarious that she has a magical fairy that goes and makes all of her wishes come true.
Uh-huh.
So anyway, he continues to say, she is always trying to do this or that, and it's not so successful. On the show, you two laugh about this and are all cutesy about it. Curiosity asks, when those situations actually happen, are you guys still so easygoing about them, or is Justin crabbing and bitching about Natalie not doing XYZ to successful completion? Myself, I try to laugh, ironic, when a wife for the millionth time could get a dish completely clean, but I find the I get pissy just as often, sorry. So, guess I'm just curious how the mighty Justin, well put, and maybe others handle these times. Love the show since episode one. They want more of Natalie. So maybe she'll also be an addition. We'll have two featured players on the show that is me. Papa's windbag. So here's the thing. it goes back and forth. Here's what happens with me. I am trying, Greg, to learn to be tolerant. There's no way I could come out of this sounding like a colossal asshole. But I am. I'm trying to, like, not notice everything and just, you know, like, I rant about the bags by the door, but that happened for a long time and I never brought it up. Instead, it seems weird that I only bring it up on this show and not yell at her in her face because that makes it passive aggression. Oh, my God. I am going to... What is happening? Why is all this going on? Go away.
No comment.
Who wants a phone on their computer, Apple? Somebody resurrect Steve Jobs and fix this post-haste. Oh, my God. I apologize to the listeners for that. What is going on here?
I'm sure they loved it as much as I did.
No, they don't. They're like, oh, my God, this is so horrible. Where's my...
What is this, amateur hour?
Yes, it is. So what was I saying before I was really interrupted by a person I don't know?
That was that it would be passive aggressive if you yelled at her face.
Right. Yeah. Hit her with her right in the face. You know what I mean? I'm not a spousal abuser, but I, you know, like.
Is it possible you could just talk to her about it? Are the only two options?
Okay, that's a good point. If talking to her did the trick, why would I even have to, you know what I mean? Like if I just said, hey, how come the bags don't just go to the van? And because if she was a normal person, then she would go, oh, duh, yeah, you're right. That's a good point. But instead, what my wife does, and I'm sure what Greg's lovely lady does too, is she looks at it and goes, yeah, that's a good point. And then from that second on, it's like her brain gets defragged, and it's a wiped out memory. It's gone. She doesn't remember that.
So you have spoken to her, but that just doesn't work.
No, she's in a lot of ways a lot like my children.
I see. You bypassed the step where she could handle it like an adult and went straight to infantilizing her.
No, I don't infantilize her. I say, hey, can we put the bags in the grocery store or in the van? And then she says, yes, you got it, and then never does it.
Oh, okay.
And right. then I infantilize her.
I see.
And by that, I treat her like the little baby. Yeah. I give her a blankie. And I wrap her up.
Yell at her.
And then I scream at her. Because she prefers to be swaddled when I yell at her.
Yes.
But what I can tell you, Greg, is that in all honesty, that I have moments where... But there are less moments where I actually am angry. And there are more moments where we kind of laugh about it now. Because we've been together for almost 2 decades. And let me tell you this. If your wife listens to the show, Greg, before she gets all easy, let me fix this for you. Here's what you need to start telling your wife. Because when you do have the real fights, and it's very daunting for them, because they're such colossal failures, they feel like, why do I deserve to bask in your shadow? You know what I mean?
Yes.
And so what I found is the great way to let her down, take the burden away from her of her failure, is I explain to her that I have chosen you to share this life with me. And I am so happy... I'm so in love with you, is what I meant to say.
Yes.
That I won't leave you, even though you are essentially a sandbag in this journey that I live.
Oh, my God.
So maybe maybe not use those words. I think you put it in your own words, but that's just my advice to you, Greg, and I wish you the best of luck. Okay, now I did a lot of bits there. So all seriousness, we laugh about it a good chunk of the time. Most of the time, I think I am what you're thinking, Greg, and I'm like, yeah, I'm glad you think it's funny. I am the one with all the gray hair. It's not just because of genetics that my wife looks amazing and young and I look like a tired old bag of meat.
Yes.
It's because everything hits me and nothing rolls off of me, and I feel like everything, for the most part, rolls off of her except for the things that drive me nuts. Those are the things that she's like, well, what do you want me to do?
Right.
Put the bags in the van. Let's start there. How about that?
That's right.
So there's that. What else happened this week? Had a very weird moment. Jacob, I sent an email to the teacher saying, my son is going to have art class today. They do the after school art class.
Yes.
And I got an email back from the teacher saying, he got in trouble today. And this is what I love. It's all pretty self-explanatory. Like, I'm like, wait, what? Like, but I got it when she, because they sent home a note. So here's what happens. He got in trouble on the yard. Then he also got in trouble in class.
Ooh.
So And it's kind of in the same...
A repeat offender.
Yes. Yeah. It's kind of in the same vein of what we're talking about. This apple has not fallen far from the tree in that my son also is not easy to let things go. And they were doing an experiment with pennies, I guess.
Yeah.
And they were demonstrating how the Lady Liberty is made of copper, and yet she looks different. And Jacob couldn't find his penny, and then she goes, oh, I collected it or whatever. And he goes, and then he gets angry. He goes, you lost my pennies? And she goes, no, I didn't lose your pennies. They're fine. And she's trying to instruct the class. And he's like, well, then where are my pennies? And then she goes, knock it off and sit down.
Yeah.
Not enough for him. He does not fear authority. He
goes,
how about you make with the pennies, bitch? No, he didn't say that. So she had to give him a red card. And then that means he gets a note home. And then I have to sign off on it. And then he has to write his name saying that I talked to him and, you know, all this, all this stuff. Well, the other thing that happened, though, the part that was really, really weird, I don't know if you've ever come across this, but he plays Foursquare. Did you play Foursquare when you were in the grade school?
No, I didn't. No.
We played Foursquare. I found out of it,
but I've seen pictures and books.
You do read?
Yeah.
I'm watching The Room, and that made me laugh some reason. Anyway.
Before the internet, there were some dark alleys. You could get some...
You could get an encyclopedia or two about Foursquare.
You get a photograph.
So, anyway, He plays Foursquare, and I learned today that there are variations of Foursquare. I thought Foursquare was like obviously four squares, and you played it like tennis. You get one bounce, and then you had to hit the ball out of your square into somebody else's square.
Right.
And there are all these, you know, the goofy rules like no doubles, and you know, or you could have doubles. Like you have to be a kid and screw with the rules and make it like a game of poker.
There's probably not only regional. There's probably playground to playground variations on all that.
Well, a guy that I work with, Bender, who's on the wake up call at KFI AM 640. He said that when he played Foursquare, an added rule was that they would come up with a category of things, like say it was fruit, and every time you hit the ball, you had to name a fruit.
Okay.
So that was another way that you could get out. And then he pompously, I go, oh, no, we didn't do that. We just hit the ball at each other. And then he was like, oh, well, our game was smarter.
Right.
I'm like, go fuck yourself. Right. All right. Yo, you named fruit that makes you smarter than me? Anyway, Jacob was playing Foursquare with his very good friend, and his very good friend got him out. And Jacob got angry at his very good friend and decided that a proper thing to do was to throw the ball at his very good friend's head.
Sure.
And make contact.
Sure.
With his very good friend's head.
Yeah, well, it was suddenly dodgeball.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And it's very much, in my opinion, it's not like my kid. It's not like I was like, wow, that's shy. Like, here's the thing. He was telling me a story about how there was a girl who was making him angry while playing, and she kept telling him what to do. And I would believe that he would throw the ball at the girl before he would his good friend. The only thing I can think of is that I've been very adamant, because they used to try to wrestle with their mom, and I don't like that. I don't like boys. What's up?
Nothing.
Oh, were you giggling at something in the...
Not at all. I'm giggling at what you're saying. I'm engaged.
Well, were you looking at over here when you giggled, though?
I'm having some technical difficulties.
Oh, okay. So is the chat room not working? Yeah. So anyway, you can turn it up if it makes you feel better. I make it. I don't like them wrestling with their mother, because I don't like the message that sends. I like boys to not, you know, roughhouse or even think they could come close to that. You know, ladies are supposed to be respected and treated accordingly.
All right.
Until you marry them, and then you can bag on them on your internet radio show.
There you go. Right.
That's or on your very popular CD that gets played a lot on satellite radio all over the globe. Those are the only
two.
Those are the exceptions. And I think that my assumption is that this girl agitated him, and then he thought, well, here's a place I could put this anger.
Sure.
So he put it in his friend's head.
Right.
And what it did was, I was like, oh, man, because that kid's really nice and just a good kid.
Yeah.
And it's this weird thing that we live in where it's like, I didn't do anything wrong to this kid.
Yeah.
My kid did, but yet I'm now responsible by proxy.
Sure.
Right? Like, yes. I also have to answer for the mistakes of my child.
Right.
Which is a position that I don't like to be in.
Right.
Because I'm like, well, and I know that it's still my fault because I raised him. You know what I mean? But at the same time, it's like, we all could agree, like, I didn't raise him to do that. That wasn't part of the plan. There's never been a time where he has seen me huck any... Oh, wait a minute. I did huck a cup against a wall, but he wasn't in the room.
I don't think he saw it.
So, this isn't on me, right?
No.
Yeah, this isn't on me. This is all on him. So it was just this weird. And then when I found out about it, I sent a text message to the boy's mom and just said, hey, I just want to let you know I'm terribly sorry. I talked to Jacob. I told him tomorrow. Yeah. He already apologized. Yeah. I said, tomorrow morning, you're going to go apologize again. He goes, but I already did. I said, yeah, you're going to do it again. And he goes, but I don't want to. I go, I did not ask you. I hate this. I don't want it.
Right.
I didn't ask you what
you
wanted to do.
So you threw a ball at his head.
So I threw a ball at his head and said, how do you like it?
Yeah.
No, I threw a rock. Drive the message.
Right.
No, it's just.
They bring a knife to the fight. You bring a gun.
That's right.
Yeah.
And he, so then he did. Then I, and I sent this text. I said, he's going to say sorry. I go, let you know, is he okay? And right. What was great about it and sad about it at the same time was that the mom was like, oh, I didn't know any of this happened.
There's
like,
nothing that's not great about this, by the way.
My son did not come and tell me. Like, so the kid didn't even mention it to his mom. Because this kid is so good, like, and everything kind of rolls off his back.
Yeah.
He didn't
or
even
bounces
like,
off his head.
You whatever. Know. You know, yeah. Quid pro tomato, tomato. And so then it was like, there's a part of me that's like, man, I guess I could have gotten away with this. I couldn't have. I
you wouldn't have had to grovel.
Yeah,
the
exactly.
Other
or deal with this just this discomfort of going, oh, God. Right. And I know it's my neuroses that I sit there and go, because I really, really like the parents that my kids are friends with. And so part of my own little neuroses is that I think that they secretly hate me or whatever. And I try to just go, okay, maybe they do. And I'll let them work it out if they don't want to, you know. But I just sit there and I'm like, oh, God, if I just didn't say anything, everything would have been so much easier and so much better off. But then I'm like, well, what kind of a message is that sending? Where it's like, well, it's okay if you can get away with it.
Right, right.
And I don't, did you ever have to deal with any of that where it's like, where you're like, you have to eat crow for...
Not exactly in the way that you're talking about it, but my Chad came home one day. I feel like I may have talked about this on the show. I'm not sure. Mm. And he told a story about he's often... well, it's hard to know now, but he often reported being bullied, and I'd often go to the school or whatever. But,
yeah.
I also know that he's highly, highly sensitive. So he would see other people getting... bumped into, and then he would absorb that as bullies are everywhere, you know, he would totally internalize it. And he came home and told a story about being kind of shoved around in a hallway, bumped into by a couple walking down the hallway, two upperclassmen,
yeah,
when he was in seventh grade, and punching the boy and then running away. And so I spent a night trying to figure out how to handle this because. If they weren't coming after him for doing that, then my going in and talking to somebody about it was going to create a problem. And it all resolved itself in possibly the most heartbreaking way. Get ready to laugh, people. Chad had made it up.
Oh.
Because he was verbally abused in the hallway by this boy and had added the punch to it because he couldn't stand another instance where
he had to take it.
Where he had been the victim.
Yeah.
Yes. So... I almost would have rather that he punched the kid.
Right.
In my case.
Right.
And that we got, you know, suspended and had to work something out or whatever.
He's got a face tattoo. And,
yeah,
you know what I mean?
Right. Yeah.
There's different, that's a different journey to
right.
go down.
Yes.
Oh, see, and Jacob did a little bit of that where he started telling me, I go, I heard you got trouble on the playground. He goes, well, there was a girl who was making fun of me and he kept telling me what to do. And I said, well, what did you do? And he's like, I don't remember. And I go, what do you mean you don't? Like, there's a part of me that's like, I don't like this game that you... He thinks he's very smart, but he's kind of stupid still because he's young.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
So it's... And then he finally goes, oh, now I remember. Right. And then he comes and then he tells
me,
I hit so-and-so in the head with... Or I threw it at his head. That was first. And I go, did you make contact? And he goes, yes, but it was on accident. I go, so let me get this straight. You threw the ball at his head and accidentally hit your target? He goes, yeah, you get it. Like,
right.
Yeah, that's the ticket. And that's I go, well, did he get hurt? He goes, I don't think so. I like, did he cry? He goes, no. And I said, you know, so I don't. And then it's, I wish I was I wish this wasn't new territory. Is that weird to say out loud? Where it's I wish I'd already navigated these kinds of social situations as a parent because then I would know, oh, this is what they do. But it's such a weird – parenting is so weird because everybody has their own angle on it. Like parenting is like a snowflake to most people. Like
that's
even
awesome.
The people that are listening to the show, we all kind of maybe have a common like they talk about on the Staying Frosty with the Dad podcast fan page. Everybody, they find comfort in the fact that they're like-minded people.
Yes.
But they're still not doing it the same.
Right.
There's still subtle variations where it's like, well, that's not what I would do, you know, kind of thing. I would like to hope that we all are kind of like not the ones who look at the others and go, "Goo," you know what I mean? I'm not that guy, but at the same time, I'm the guy who is worried about getting the "goo." Like, and then it's hard because now I have this job and I worry that because I can't have playdates at the house anymore, that what if I'm creating accidental gaps? Isn't that bullshit?
Accidental gaps
in between Jacob and his friends. Because they all go over to each other's house.
I see.
And I need him to come with me. And it's like, I sit here and I listen to this and I'm like, what the fuck are you doing, man? Just go pick up your kid and go get your shit done. At no point. I don't know if we're doing ourselves a service, you know what I mean,
with this level
of awareness. Because at no point did my father not, like, did he ever, none of this entered his brain. None of it ever.
Right.
So everything is fine. Everything looks to be good. So I can't really worry about it too much. But, and I'm not. That's the other thing. I'm kind of... It comes and it goes. When it's happening, I'm sitting there going, oh, God, geez, I hope everything's cool. Like, how do I navigate this social situation? It's better when it's me. Because when it's me, I could be like, all right, go fuck yourself.
Right. When it doesn't involve your kids, then it becomes a torturous debate.
Yes. Where it's like, now I have to walk some kind of, like, middle of the road. You know what I mean? It'd be different if my son kind of had a little bit. Like, I worry about that kind of stuff, but... I very rarely act on those concerns. I find a lot of comfort. There are people that I really like, and then I'm like, oh, that would suck if they hated me. Eventually, I'd get over it.
Right.
Then there are people that I'm on the fence about that I would like, I wish you would do something so I could tell you go fuck yourself. That would make me feel a lot better.
Right.
And then
is there anything in particular you want me to do?
Or? No, not you.
Oh, okay.
I like you.
All right.
What? Do you really think I don't like you?
No, it's just a good joke. Whatever you go this way, I go that way. It's just comedy.
I don't know. Makes me worried. That's not a good joke.
No.
No dying. No dying, Paco. What's the other thing? Then we had another funny night last night.
Yeah.
My mom is here visiting, and it's funny because when grandma comes to visit, it's a great thing, and everybody's happy. But I don't know if anybody's had this happen. I bet I could play that too. That's another mother-in-law thing. So I don't know if anybody's ever had this happen, but where she was like last night, she's like, let's go out to dinner. And I want to go out to dinner and have a good time with my mom. I want my wife to come. We're going to enjoy Outback because that's the kind of people we are.
Yes.
And, but the funny thing is I get up at 2:30 in the morning. Okay. So I start crashing a little bit like 4 or 5, the kids are kids. And then they start crashing at like 4 or 5 and not like going to sleep, but you could feel
it
coming.
They get a little logy. And
then it's this weird thing where my mom was like, she goes, it was funny when it's your mom, it's always different than if somebody else says it.
Right.
Like, for the same example, if my mom said something, if somebody else said something like this, I'm like, what the fuck do you care? But when I go, okay, guys, time to get ready for shower the other day, my mom's like, why did they take a bath so early? And I go, early? What's early?
Right.
And she goes, well, that seems early. And I go, oh. And I just kind of move on. But in my head, I'm like, they do. I guess it's early. It's 4 o'clock. There, I said it out loud.
Yeah, that does seem a little early to me.
But fuck yourself.
No, well,
wait, what's up?
I knew this would happen. It depends relative to bed. I always did it
4:15 is when they're in bed.
Well, then there you go.
Sometimes they fall asleep in the shower.
Right.
Mostly do the Benadryl dosage.
Right.
It's an IV. It's not like it's weird.
No, right.
Here's why.
Yes.
And I don't know if you ever dealt with this, or maybe you're removed now that they're teenagers, but I got one.
I'm not still giving them baths.
Why not?
Well,
do you not love them?
No, because they're not daughters.
I know. Oh, jeez. I said I know way too quick. Way too quick.
Doreen gives them the bath.
No, I do it that way because they used to take a bath. Here's what I wanted. I wanted Natalie to come home at about 5:40. She gets off work at about 5:45, sometimes 6:30. So
yeah.
If we used to do it at 6 o'clock, But then what would happen is Natalie'd come home. We'd have a quick dinner. The kids would have to go take a bath. She got zero time with them.
Yeah.
So I adjusted the schedule. And it used to be at about 5 o'clock, they would start taking... Well, 5 o'clock is when they start crashing. So mm-hmm. now I'm trying to cook dinner. They're bathing, right? Jack was easy. I would give him a quick bath myself, and then Jacob has been able to bathe himself for the last probably year, I guess.
Yeah.
And now Jack does it himself, sort of. But anyway... and then I'd start cooking dinner, but then they're tired, so then they start screaming for things, but I'm cooking, their things going,
right.
And then they got the water over there going, very good at sound effects.
Yeah.
And so I couldn't really always hear them, and then I just hear the muffling, like, you know, you get the, like you just hear a banshee noise.
Glug, glug, glug.
No, you never hear them drown. So I would go in there, and it turned into this thing where I'm trying to be efficient, but all it did was I was creating a catalyst for me to scream at them more.
Right.
Where I was just like, what do you want?
Also, there sounds like there's danger involved, honestly. It makes me
you
very
think everything is dangerous,
of
though.
Course
it's
I
a
do.
Shower.
If oh, a shower. Yeah,
yeah, it's a shower. If they a kid drowns in a shower, that's Darwin.
Yeah.
That is Darwin.
You're right. You're right.
So I would be running in there. I'd be going back and be like, hey, what's the matter? I'm trying to cook. And then the dinner's burning. You know, it's like, why can't we have bathtubs in the kitchen? Am I right or am I right?
Well, they used to.
Right?
When they were smarter in the olden times.
The settlers, like those cable commercials. Yeah. So then I decided, here's what I'm going to do.
Yeah.
I will sit down with them after. So Jacob will do homework, and then they have a little playtime or whatever.
Yeah.
And then I'll usually, that's my time to get stuff done around the house. And then I will go, hey, guys, you want to watch a show? And we'll kind of cuddle on the couch and watch like The Flash or Supergirl or whatever's
right,
on.
Right.
They also, my kids, by the way, great taste of television. They like Brooklyn Nine-Nine, The Goldbergs. They love The Goldbergs. Jacob was laughing at something. Family Guy, which I know is probably a little much for
that
their
age. That is a little much.
But there's a little bit of pride that you have when they get a really violent, smart reference and are just laughing hysterically.
Yes.
And then they, you know, you get your fork when he's all bloody like that.
Right,
and that
right.
makes me giggle inside and outside. But so we'll watch a show together. And then 4:30 is when I would kind of start to get ready for dinner and all that stuff. And then, so now what I do, 4:30, I say, let's do showers. And then this day I was doing it a little bit early because I've noticed even at 4:30 they're still a little cranky, but if I did it like between 4:15 and 4:30, if I can get them going closer to 4:15, I don't know what it is, but they have just enough energy to get through the shower, come and sit and watch cartoons, and I make dinner with no problems.
Yeah, yeah.
But it is kind of curious that my mom is like, "Why are you taking them to a bath so early?" I'm like, "Why do you care?" Right? Like you're here this week. Just shut up and smile and hug the kids and leave me alone. All right, I'm doing it. Are my kids like? And this is where it's unfair.
Yes,
all the cousins in my families don't take care of their children. Like,
right,
you know what I mean. So it's like if I was those people, like one of my cousins, mid to late 20s, probably closer to 30 when this happened, early to mid 30s because he's older than I am. If I ever had to call my mom and say, "Hey, mom, I need you to go to the house and pick up the kids that are 9 and 7. Okay. Why? Well, I got arrested. Why? I was driving home drunk from the bar. Yeah, but it's Tuesday night. If that ever happened, you know what I mean? Feel free to question my tactics and techniques.
Right.
But so far, I'm doing good.
Yeah.
Right. Everybody's happy. Yeah. Kids are healthy. Sure, they get a cold every now and then, run a fever or whatever.
Right. Throw a ball at a kid's head.
Yeah. Maybe she's just doing like the mom thing. And here's the thing. I know without a shadow of a doubt, she means no ill by it. But it's what I think parents kind of do without thinking about it, where it's like I had a weird moment with my dad that I thought I would never have where he was kind of like riding Jacob. And I'm kind of like, I'm sitting there going, do I want to tell you to back off? Like, I don't necessarily disagree with what you're saying, but like it's like, I kind of want to say, hey, you stay in your fun grandpa lane. Okay.
Oh,
I'll be the angry guy.
Right.
I'll be you when I was a kid and you be Grandpa Jesse, the fun redneck character from a Western. Like that's your job.
Right.
Cause when she got in, she put her hand on his head and then she's like, he's got a fever. And I was like, no, he doesn't. What are you talking about? I put my hand on his head. She goes, no. He goes, and then she kind of goes, yeah, he does. And just kind of walks away. And then what's great about her being my mom is that I have to now go get a thermometer.
Of course you do.
And check. But then what's great also about being a grown up to your mom is that I see it when it says 98.4 or whatever.
Yeah.
You can't go fuck yourself. No, tell me I don't know my hand. And I wish I was a traditional dad, because then I could just be like, oh, who cares? Like, oh, I guess I got a fever, and I could move on.
Right.
But this is my gig.
You don't have to tell her to stick it up, her whatever, but you can say to your son, you're fine.
Yeah, but it didn't help. Here's the part that it didn't help.
You don't want him to feel fine.
No, the next day he gets a fever. Like, then it's like now she's got some kind of like soothsayer thing or something, which pisses me off.
You can't win.
And can't. Oh. So much. I started this episode off by saying how great things.
Right. You only thought they were.
Turns out I can
when you really examine them closely. changing the subject slightly.
Please
and you
do.
Can just say no and we can get off this entirely. But on the fan page, somebody had posted a thing, training children to be independent. Did you happen to see that?
Training them to be a dependent.
Training them to be independent.
Independent. No, I did not see that.
I sent you an email just now with that in there, because I looked at that and I'm like, this looks like the right up Justin's alley.
What address did you send it to?
This
is a great podcast.
No, sorry. Maybe I didn't even send it to you.
Well,
it doesn't matter. I mean, I have it here in front of me. But
yeah, well, then you'd read it.
I know, but there's 75 points.
Well, let's hear them.
It's age by age.
Okay.
Age.
Let's do the age that applies to me. That way I can react properly.
Okay. How old are you? No, I'm joking.
37. Let's do that age.
No, they don't have that one. It starts at age 3, and I'll just touch on some of these, and then we'll jump ahead.
Okay.
They should be able to dress themselves.
Yep.
To be toilet trained.
Yep.
Okay. Brush teeth. Pick up toys.
Okay, yeah, definitely.
Say prayers, give or take.
Yeah.
Wash walls. They better be saying their prayers with you as their dad.
Washing walls?
Washing walls.
What's happening to these walls that they're being washed?
There's some very disturbing things on this list.
I like this.
Personal vitals, meaning they know their birthday and their age and whatnot.
At 3.
At 3.
Wow, my kids are going to be so dependent.
And they wrap up 3 with this. Yes, ma'am, and yes, sir.
Yes, ma'am, and yes, sir.
That better be part of their regular part of their vocabulary.
My kids don't get that because I don't hit them.
Right.
If I struck my children, I bet you they would listen a lot more.
That's got to be Southern, and that's got to be military environment, and then it happens more often. Okay, age 4. You got a 4-year-old.
Yeah.
Yeah. Take medicine. No, I'm joking.
that was a 7-year-old. I'm already failing.
Sorry. Make bed.
Yes, he does.
Make own breakfast.
No.
No.
Well, what are we talking about? I mean, nobody here is saying a 4-year-old should be frying bacon and whipping up a fucking frittata. Like,
right.
Natalie makes some pancakes and bacon and fruit. You know, but he can go into the fridge and get a little snack. Like, he can grab a yogurt and get it for himself.
Right. Yeah. I don't know. They don't go into details here about what the options are. Make a sandwich or make sandwiches. I don't think that's happening.
No.
Beginning
he
room
could, but
cleaning.
It would be horrible.
Beginning the cleaning of their own room. Now, I don't know if that means...
Beginning at 4... Like, I love that you can make breakfast and clean your room at the beginning stages. Of,
right.
You know what I mean? Like,
right.
I can't really clean all this mess I fucking made, but yes, I will make you a bagel breakfast sandwich with bacon and pepper jack cheese the way you like it, Dad.
Right. I'll make you... exactly. And by room cleaning, I'm assuming they mean picking up their toys as opposed to literally, like... dusting and so on and so forth. Clean glass tables.
Yeah.
Okay. Not wood, though. They shouldn't be cleaning the wood table.
Yes.
At this age. Begin articles of faith. I think we've jumped into I think they're starting to show. Learn proper manners. Get allowance and floss teeth.
Now, if you ask a dentist tells you you're supposed to be flossing and brushing their teeth, at least my dentist, till they're 11 years old.
You're supposed to be doing it.
Yes. Okay. And I said, okay. I was like, okay, great. I'm going to do that. And then recently I was like, how does that make sense? Like, you know me. Yeah. I'm about, let's figure this out now.
Yeah.
So what we did was we went through in between two cleaning, like one cleaning just happened. And then in between the next cleaning, I said, Jacob, you are now in charge of brushing your teeth. So we started doing that when he was about 6 and a half. And I said, I floss for him so that I know that I get all the gaps because he's gotten a cavity because his mother wasn't fucking taking care of his teeth. And
that was really rude.
So anyway, so when he went through, and then I did the thing where the lady did the cleaning, and I said, how were his teeth? She goes, looks great. There was a couple spots here and there, and I said, great. And so I just didn't tell the dentist that he was cleaning them. Well, she didn't ask. If she asked, I would have said, oh, yeah, no, he doesn't.
Right.
But with Jack, we still do it. And I'm kind of thinking, I'm like, in a couple more years, I'm just going to make him do it.
Well, according to this, it should happen at the age 4.
Fuck that.
Age 5, straighten room or straighten rooms. Vacuum. Empty garbage can. Set table. Clear table. Make own lunch. Canned food warm up.
Who's going to stick a can in a microwave?
I don't know what they're talking about. You take it out of the can. I'm assuming they mean open the can like soup, take it out of the can,
at 4.
And then warm it up. This is now 5.
Oh.
Outfit matching and memorize your phone and address.
Here's what's interesting. Jacob never had to be taught how to match colors. Like he just gets it innately. Jack could give a fuck.
Yeah.
Yesterday, he was wearing one long sock. He has these socks that Natalie got him for Crazy Sock Day.
Yeah.
And Jack's version of these are up to his thigh.
Sure.
And he couldn't find the other one, so he just wore a different sock on the other foot. Like, Jack is so, like, male that he's just like, fuck it, I'll wear two different socks
because I like this one. I got a brown one and I got a blue one. Maybe you don't want to notice. Or blue and black. But
he's got a thigh-high one.
Flaming thigh-high sock.
It looked like a sleeve tattoo on his leg.
Oh, my God.
The way it was decorated.
Right.
Jacob would
sticking
not
out of his pants.
Yeah. Would not be caught dead.
Yeah.
He was wearing shorts.
Yeah.
He's wearing shorts with a thigh-high sock and an ankle sock on the other foot. And I said, Jack, where's your other sock like this? He goes, I don't know. I couldn't find it.
Right.
I go, well, where did you get this sock? The other one, the shorter one. He goes, from my drawer. And I go, so you just wore two different socks?
I'll tell you a very little known story. A young, he's a well-known performer at this point, had a similar scenario, went out with only one white glove on.
Uh-huh.
The rest is history.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't know what you're not picking up.
His mother, Mrs. Michael Jackson, said, where's your other glove, Michael? And he said, I don't know. I couldn't find it. And then he went out and made history.
Who is this?
Michael Jackson, one white glove. I'm sorry.
Never heard of him.
So here's the thing. I know you think
that's incomparable acting.
That is incomparable acting. But here's the thing is that you convinced me that you didn't know what I was talking about, which shouldn't make you proud that I was willing to accept the fact that you didn't know who Michael Jackson was.
No, that's you trying to spit it back on me because you didn't like that I fooled you. That's what that is.
I looked at you.
That is my incomparable acting.
Yeah, that's beautiful. Yes, and by the way, just deny. Anyway,
that's what I do.
Yeah, age 6, and then we can leave this if you want to. But
I want to hear age 7.
Okay, age 7. Wash dishes.
Okay, you can do that.
Learn nutrition and body care.
Yes.
Clean toilets.
Yeah. What?
You don't have them cleaning a toilet.
Yeah. Why?
Look,
they clean
Michael
the whole
Jackson,
house.
There's nothing you can do. You look at me seriously as you want to. I'm not going to believe anything else you say.
Why?
Because you just tricked me.
I violated your trust.
Yeah, you violated my trust.
He cleaned a toilet. He cleaned that whole rental house with his mom. Both of them do.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. They do windows. They clean countertops.
That's awesome. Pull weeds.
Yep, they do that.
Have a savings account.
They have that.
Read with comprehension.
Well, that's more academics, I think, than anything, but he could do that.
Get up. Yeah, who are you at age 7 that can't read with comprehension?
Yeah, what was get up?
Oh, get up by self with an alarm clock.
Yeah, he does that.
Learn proper table manners.
He doesn't sit on his butt. You know what I hate about these kind of lists?
No, money management. Learn proper etiquette and, well, baptism. But anyway, go on.
I hate that it puts us, my voice is going.
I think you should do the entire show in that voice.
I can't. It's literally.
I think it puts us in an awkward position.
It's like I go and then all of a sudden I can feel the right side of it tense up and it disappears.
Yeah. I think you might have bronchitis.
I hate these. Yeah, exactly. I hate, thanks for coming. I hate these lists that they, no matter how it goes, like. I don't. Is everybody like this? Where it's like you read these and you can't. You subconsciously slip into. Am I doing that? You know what I mean? Like, do we all Do we all kind of do that? Like, I'm not so dumb that I'm going to base my entire life off of that.
No, I understand.
But I would be lying if I didn't sit there and go, all right, I feel like I'm pretty good.
Well, here's the
thing. But then the things, it's almost like what we make fun of people with religion, kind of, where it's like, I choose what I think is okay within that list, but am, like, blind to the rest of it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's just it. Like, you say, oh, I'm doing pretty good.
What do you mean by making breakfast exactly? Like,
yeah, right. You say, oh, I think I'm doing good, but that's based on the fact that you think that these milestones have value in and of themselves. I looked at it and went, well, if I didn't feel like a failure before, I certainly feel like one now. I probably should have hit more than a handful of these between the two kids. I had maybe five between both of them. And then, you know, at 15, 16, 17, it's just like, you know,
taxes.
Yeah, there's nothing. Those are the shortest lists because by then they already know.
Identify a valid spouse that could increase their rank within society.
Yeah. Yes. So,
run a small third world country.
Yeah. Age 14. Basic interior decorating. Food storage basics.
Basic interior decorating at what age?
14.
Well, why is that a skill that anybody needs to have? Basic interior decorating.
So, you know, you got to buy some pillows. You got to.
But what I'm saying is, even if you're 27, that's not a skill that you need to survive.
Well,
you don't need to know how to find a fucking throw pillow. Here's what that does. The only thing that that does is set you up to be able to have a fight with your future spouse or partner later on life. That's all interior decorating does. So you come into whatever relationship with what you think it looks good.
Yeah.
And then the other person does nothing but fuck that up. Because God forbid you married somebody who had the same taste. Like, for instance, my wife, she thinks that you should not have a flat surface exist in your house without it being covered in something. Why would you want to set down a drink or a little snack plate on a table when it can have little wooden figures of people kissing and in various forms of embrace? As if I need to be reminded of what affection looks like in a small wooden figure form. I hug you, bitch. I know what it is. Yeah. Well, these are weird signals that you're sending me.
And you see it in porn.
Exactly. So. I get it on the internet where everybody does. Why do I? The other thing is, why can't a couch just be a couch? Why can't I just sit on a couch and watch television like it's supposed to fucking be?
What else does she want a couch to be?
She wants it to be a framework for throw pillows. There has to be 18, and I know there isn't a man listening to the show that doesn't crawl into bed every single night and take all of the pillows and throw them on the ground that you have to have all over everywhere. Like, there needs to be, like Dante's levels of hell, of purgatory, whatever
yes,
it is.
Yes.
You have to break through all the decorative levels of throw pillows, decorative pillows, then there's a pillow for your head.
Yes.
And then now what's happened? We have throw pillows that we used to keep on the couch, and now she's taken them and cast them into the bedroom. I don't know if they got promoted. I don't know if that is a worse place, if that's the land of misfit pillows, if they end up on our bed.
Yeah.
But to me, I feel like it is a demotion because for whatever reason, because we got the stupid fucking pisser dog, that whatever goes on the bed is now increased likelihood it's going to get peed on. Because God forbid I tell that dog to get off my bed without her pissing all over everything. But we have these gigantic gray pillows. Gigantic. Oh, sorry. Somebody in the chat room just said something that about the phone line. We have these gigantic gray pillows, and I like them. They're nice when you want to lay down on the couch. But when you are a family of four and you have two couches that comfortably seat three people each, how much laying down do you get to do on the couch? And then she also yells at me because the couch that I like is not deep enough to support both of our fat asses back to back. Like, you could take the pillows off of the back, like the back cushion pillows, and lay those down and then lay down. But that's not good enough. Here's what it is, too. Anytime anybody comes to my house, I am moving pillows of some kind.
Right.
Come here, sit down. And then also the blankets. Now, because I'm cold-blooded, she has to have a fleece blanket that she lays over everywhere. I don't know why I'm mad about this or why I got onto this.
I don't know either.
But I think, interior decorating.
Yeah.
Fuck that noise. We have a caller. Wait, I thought I hit the button to talk to them, and now it's gone. Yes, caller, who is this? Oh, is it not working? I'm really good at this. All right, sorry, the phone doesn't work. I don't know what happened.
Oh, my God. That's the first caller in 6 weeks.
Well, I remember to put the number out there. I'm sorry. I'll figure that out later. But so, so I don't know. We got to do moment of the week and wrap up anyway soon.
Okay. Sorry. But, I didn't mean to hijack the thing.
You did not hijack. I thought that was very interesting.
Other things for H14, I'll blast through.
Okay.
Food storage basics, debit card, interest, debt, securities. I don't know what that means exactly, what they're supposed to do with it. Identify, what is that? Business skills to get, advanced politics and law, accompany parent to vote, change flat tire, basic mechanics, structural house repairs, memorize, is that, clean garage, sell items on the internet, and firearm handling. So,
firearm handling at what age?
14.
I'd at 8.
I know you. Yeah, I know you'd say yes to that. Oh, I don't. Here, I'm going to do it anyway. You? I just saw this thing on the internet yesterday. I'm sure everybody already knows about it now. You know, then I'll shut up because you're in the
business. Lady who that got shot by her son.
Yeah,
yeah. The gun advocate.
The gun safety advocate.
Yeah.
Who left the loaded 45 in the back seat with her 4-year-old?
Was it a 45?
It was a 45. He usually shoots a 22.
But usually shoots a 22.
Yes, that's what he uses at the firing range. But I think he felt like he could handle it. Maybe the safety was on, he took it off. Maybe it wasn't on.
Hold on, you're absolutely 100% positive it was a 45 he shot his mother with.
That's what I read.
Okay.
He winged her.
Well, it was through her road. That's the part we talked about on the show today. It went through her. But a 45 at close range, that would have left quite a hole.
Oh, well, you know what? Maybe it left a very big hole in the back seat. And then a smaller hole in her. I don't know.
And a 45 still a close range. That's going to do some. Right, that's going to tear some chin. Unless she's a hefty girl.
Maybe I have it wrong.
If she's big bone, then she could take a 45 slug to the abdomen and still be okay.
No, she looked like a bit of all right, is what she looked like. Yeah.
Well, I don't, but here's my point.
It wasn't Honey Boo Boo's family. It wasn't like that. Where she wouldn't notice for several
Mama
days.
June?
Yeah, she's no Mama June. Two or three days later, she goes, "What is that? I thought that was a pimple."
It's like that show, I Didn't Know I Was Pregnant. It's like, I didn't know I've been shot.
Yeah. I Didn't Know I Was Pregnant is not something you should be proud of. That should be horrifying.
All right, let's do some moment of the week.
You made them.
It'd be really funny if that didn't
work. You love them. And sometimes you want to choke the living shit out of them. But occasionally, they give you that one sweet moment. This is that moment. Moment of the week, brought to you by Stitcher, the free app that handles all your podcasting needs without having to sync to your computer. Stream all your favorite podcasts right to your Droid, BlackBerry, or iPhone. Just go to thedadpodcast.com and click on the Stitcher logo on the left-hand side. It's free, people, and they give us money if you do it.
Somebody in the chat room said, yeah, they're the backseat shooter is what they call that. And our very own Butcher Drew.
All right, all right.
He said that was my nickname in high school. all right, hit me with the moment of the week, Marco.
All right, so... I have two, as a matter of fact,
but I need
to find my notes.
Do you want me to go first?
No, I have them right here.
Okay.
Oh, and I need some other stuff. I've been collecting things to talk to you about because it's been so long, but, some of them can wait. Okay. So just one was a quick one-off from Chad, who it was a lot of it was the delivery and I may not be doing it,
don't oversell it.
Whatever. But we were going through the drive-thru at Krispy Kreme, and at a time when they were selling pumpkin, you know, they have seasonal-type donuts, so there was a pumpkin donut available. And I don't partake, and I don't care for the Krispy Kreme. If I eat a donut, I want to know I ate it. I want it to land with a thud in my stomach. I don't want it to be one where I can have three or four and go, I think I can actually fit another one. I want to be sick after two. Is how I feel about donuts. So I don't have time for that.
Yeah.
But the rest of them, they all love it. So they all order their favorites or whatever it was. And then somehow it never works out that everyone got what they wanted. And so the slower ones are in danger of losing out on whatever it was they ordered. And so Chad, who had already had his two of the half dozen assorted we bought, reached in for a third one and grabbed the pumpkin donut. And I said, hang on a second. I don't think that one's yours. And now you're like touching it and everything. And he just said with this very sweet thing on his face as he placed it gently back in the tray, can I have this pumpkin donut now that my filthy hands have been all over it? We all said, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, they're good.
Have it. And the other one goes back a couple weeks now. But I talked a little bit about doing yard work with Chad. Not Chad.
Diego.
Diego, thank you. I almost called him Greco. Lord almighty.
Anyway. By the way, I have to tell the listeners, it's become quite a joy since your gardener quit. Did not get laid off. Did not get let go. Just quit.
Just quit.
Said, take this job and shove it.
Yeah, you did.
And then now his replacements are you and your son. My favorite part about watching, because it is so, it's awesome and adorable and nostalgic and sweet, because you have a lawnmower from 1957.
Yes.
And there never fails that if you are out there and I happen to be out there for longer than 30 seconds, at some point, who I like to yell from across the street is the warden, comes to check your work.
Right.
My favorite thing was she was in some, not a PJ situation, but not a for outdoor use clothing situation. Not, that makes her sound scantily clad. That's not what I'm saying.
No.
But no, she came out with and opened the door and did like a look of just checking, oh yeah, how's it going? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But better than that was the second time I saw this. She was coming home from work, I think, or maybe an errand or something. Walks up to the bin that the yard waste goes into and looks in it, like to see how full are you getting this thing?
Right.
It just made me so happy.
It's like a kid looking in
You're both out there taking care of the yard, and she's like, but are you doing enough?
Right.
Is it enough? She has to look in the bin. Oh, damn it. I love me some Dooley.
That sums it up perfectly. We had this dandelion infestation, and there were, I don't know, 100 dandelions in that front section that's by the street. And I went out and bought spray and sprayed them, and I know that wasn't going to be the end of it. But and then it took us a while to get to the part where we were going back through and cutting it and making it all nice. And so they had all wilted, and then they had started to sort of resurge somehow. They fought through the poison. Whatever it was, excuse me. So it looked like wet spaghetti with the heads on it, you know. And anyway, so he's out there in the sun in his t-shirt, like tearing them out by the roots, which I know doesn't kill them, but they aren't going to get caught by the push mower because they're lying flat. Anyway, so he's out there and he's doing that, and I come out and I say, okay, so how's it going? He says, I know that I haven't been doing this very long. This is like the first time in his life that he's done yard work. And he goes, but I got to say, fuck dandelions. And I said, that's good. That's a keeper. Fuck dandelions. I'll take that.
So, put that on a t-shirt.
Yeah. So anyway, that's our battle cry over there. And now they seem to have turned into something I've never seen in nature before. The remnants that
it's like Plants vs. Zombies, the tablet game?
I've never seen a dandelion do this thing. It looks like a piece of wheat at the end.
Yeah.
Now that the head is cut off.
It's mutated.
It has.
They've evolved right before your eyes.
Yes, and now they're intelligent.
I look forward to your house being that house on the street that's become overrun with the plant life. And everybody goes, don't go near that house.
So now I'm trying to do the math as we do this. He's done it now a second time and so on and so forth. I'm trying to figure out how many times do we have to do this before I can give up and switch to a gardener doing it without losing face with my wife.
I've seen the eye of the tiger in that warden, and she ain't giving up. You don't look in the bin to see how much has been filled if you're going to give this up.
That's funny.
Here are my two. I'll tell Jacob's first because Jax has some audio that came with it. I was able to finally record. You're going to get a slice, a look behind the scenes, the man behind the curtain of what it is to be a Worsham here in a few moments.
Oh, but this is exciting.
Jacob, my mom was here, and we were talking about discipline. Or my mom's still here, and we were talking about it a couple days ago. And I wish I could have captured his face when he said this, is that she said, do you ever hit them? Like she was kind of asking. And I said, I've hit each of these boys once. I said, I've thumped Jacob once in the head. I've slapped him in the head once. And I've spanked each of them once. And I said, each of those times, you would have thought that I branded them with lemon juice and hypodermic needles. Like it was like I had killed them. And yet my father, Jacob, lovingly tells this. This is what it is to be my fucking father. Lovingly tells the story about the time Grandpa hit him in the head with a fork. I asked him, was it a platen? No, it was a metal fork at a restaurant. And my dad whacked him on the top of the head and said, hey, pay attention.
Wow.
That's what it is to get to be my dad. So I was talking about it and she goes, They spent the night, and she said, "Well, I yelled at Jacob once, and I don't think it was this last trip or something." And she goes, "And I just that made me feel bad." And Jacob looked at his grandma and goes, "Why? My dad yells at us all the time." Like, the face was not like he looked at her like she was a crazy person. Like, right. Why would you feel bad for yelling?
Right.
He does it all the time.
Right.
And then this little moment, we went out to Outback to celebrate renting of the rental house. And we were coming back, and Jack was trying to tell us a story.
Yeah.
But he had had hiccups, and because he'd just eaten a little bit of kid's steak dinner, he also had some belching. So this was the good time that I was able to turn my phone on, and let's see if this...
Jack, what's funny is when you talk, you stop for a minute, then you go on talking.
Yeah.
You hear
Rick
up right there.
Or laugh. Yeah. And it, his body stops.
So he's trying to talk, and every time he stops, he hiccups.
Jacob said, underwear, brush.
He said
underwear and brush teeth.
Yeah.
And he said,
he can't get
out. And, oh, that's fantastic.
He said teeth first, and then pajamas. But you can't do your pajamas before you do your underwear.
Wow.
Right?
I did it again.
Okay,
oh,
did you see that?
Did you just hear
it? It sounds like it hurts.
Don't hurt yourself.
There he goes again. But it was awesome to hear him do like a hiccup and a burp at the same time. And
don't vomit, Nimrod.
That's my favorite word for them, is to call them Nimrod. And it's funny because Jessica, hey, easy, Butcher Drew. He just said in the chat room that Natalie sounds hot. Jessica says, why are other kids more amusing than my own? And I can tell you from firsthand experience
that's
that
funny.
Outside of that moment, I think that constantly. I am constantly fascinated by other people's children and look at them and go, wow, look at that. like right. The kid that Jacob threw the ball at, I was like, why would, part of me was mad because I like that kid. Like, why would you do that to him? He's such a nice guy.
Right.
So, that was our little moment of the week.
That's fantastic. I love that audio. Don't lose that, man.
Oh, no. I'm gonna throw it away as soon as this is done.
As you're done. By the way, you put in her last name and .45 caliber, and that story comes up over and over again.
So it is a .45 caliber.
According to every
Damn,
story.
She could take a bullet. That's my kind of lady.
Yeah.
Hollywood RX is the name of Paco Lanzini, aka Adam Dooley's podcast.
Oh, you're so sweet.
Have you done an Oscar episode?
There
I meant to
a,
check before
there's
I
a
asked.
Pre, yeah, there is a pre Oscar episode in which we had to discuss a lot of very serious issues, and I think you might want to listen to some of that.
Oh, really?
Well, Oscar
is there
so
tongue in cheek?
Oscar so white.
Oh,
and I had to have a rather
a racial conversation.
I had a racial conversation. I mean,
we talked about this off the air, where I said, "What's great is you have two white guys talking about how white the Oscars are."
Yes.
Oh, yes.
But
I
here's
do
the
need
thing.
To hear this.
This was the thing is that I just had some mild things to say, really, and then everything that came out of his fucking mouth.
Whoa.
Sorry. Was so just set me off even further, and I kept having to say, "I'm not yelling at you. I'm just yelling at people who say things like the things that you're saying."
I don't want to steal too much of your tease, but
that's
I got to know emotional context. Is he coming down on the side of the black people or the white people?
He's coming down on the side of the super lefty liberal type people,
and you're not.
Exactly. I have a complicated position. I'm not against the black people.
It kind of sounds like you are.
Yeah, even if I just say it like that, it's sounding horrible, more and more horrible. But I have a complicated...
By the way, the blackface you're wearing does not help your case here. It's not...
Actually, if you look at my history, I've got Amos and Andy on here. I was just looking at that before I came over. There's a 60-year-old reference for everybody.
You're welcome.
So anyway, I would say I'm afraid to listen to it. So that's what I think why all of you...
What's the name of this? So this is pre-Oscar?
This is the pre-Oscar.
Okay.
Yeah, it's called the Oscar Showdown, throwdown.
Okay.
So, and we pick our, you know, you can hear how wrong I was about the Oscars by we pick our choices and so on and so forth.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's a good one.
That's awesome. All right. Send us an email to show@thedadpodcast.com. Give us a like at facebook.com/dadpodcast. Don't forget to join in the fun. Other fans of the show, like-minded parents and people with similar senses of humor. If you like this show, you will like hanging out with all the fantastic people on the podcast, the fan page that our very own Butcher
all right,
Drew
all right, all right.
created. It's Staying Frosty with the Dad Podcast there. Take a look. And I think that's it. All of our social media handles are in the description of this here episode. You can listen live at mixlr.com/dadpodcast. And Paco's going to tell you about our Amazon. Are you up for it?
Oh, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Go for it.
It's very easy to do. What you have to do is go to the... Yeah, I am. I am. It's to the Dad Podcast website. And once you're there, you click on the banner at the bottom of the main page. You go through Amazon, and you bookmark it when you get there. Every time you return to Amazon, you use that bookmark, and bingo, bango, bongo, you're in. It helps. Us, and it is a good thing to do. Thanks a lot.
On behalf of Paco Lanzini, a.k.a. Adam Dooley, this is Just Worship saying hug your kids, hump your loved ones, and stay frosty, my friends.